I speak to you today in the name of God, the origin of all, whose word returns back to God not empty, whose spirit hovered over the waters of creation, whose spirit hovers over us today. As we consider this quintessentially American holiday, Thanksgiving. Everybody knows the story of the pilgrims who arrived and had a hard winter and who were rescued by the Native Americans from starvation. And so it has become a custom in the United States in particular and for Americans around the world to gather on this day of Thanksgiving to give thanks to someone, at least to each other, for cooking the turkey and all the food. And there is no other absolutely American holiday like this one, remembering the pilgrims being rescued by the Native Americans. So across America today, people are cooking turkeys, a quintessentially American bird, eating cranberry sauce, again, a North American fruit, which has become quite popular here in France, le cranberry, even though the French word is canneberge, but that's another story entirely. And everywhere, everyone is celebrating except on the reservations of Native Americans, for whom this day is a day of mourning. That's when they first encountered people who look like me and helped them out. And we, in turn, try to wipe them off the face of the earth. Thanksgiving is a day of light and a day of darkness for all of us. And here we are today at the cathedral to celebrate this day, to think about it, to wonder what it means, to whom do we give thanks and why, and to do so with our Jewish brothers and sisters, our friends from the American Church. So it's an interfaith service. I want to tell you a quick story about interfaith. My second parish, I was blessed to become the rector of a church right outside of Philadelphia, St. Paul's in Elkins Park, first suburb in the U.S. And at Elkins Park, the parish had just hired a new secretary who happened to be Jewish. Her name was Ruth, and I came to love her. She was a true Bat Berith, a daughter of the covenant. And when I first met her, she said, Father, in her, I'm not going to imitate her Philadelphia accent, but it was thick. Father, I just don't think I should be working here because I don't know anything about your religion. And I said, it's not difficult, Ruth. Everything we Christians have, we stole from you Jews. She looked rather perplexed until one day she was typing up the service bulletin, you know, like the one you have, and she came to the words, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God of Hosts. And she said, is that Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh? I said, yes. She said, you did steal everything from us. It's true.
You forgot to copyright it.
You forgot to copyright it. Sorry, you may. I'm off my track. It's like that poster of the Indian chief saying, don't talk to me about a failed immigration policy. But getting together to eat is one of the most fundamental things about being human. We've all done it. We sit with our families, whether we like to or not. Children are raised to sit at the dinner table, more or less. And that's where we learn how to talk to each other and our manners, and that you don't put your boots on the table and you don't stick your knife in the wood. That's from a medieval book on etiquette, by the way. You learn all these things, and as a result, it's such a fundamentally human thing to do that religions have taken it over in a kind of a ritual way. And so we have the Passover meal, which is, as I understand it, being a dumb Christian, is the what makes a person really Jewish is to know where you come from. We're the people who escaped from Egypt. That's what makes us Jewish. Am I right? Sort of, yeah. Okay. And since we stole everything from the Jews, we have our Sunday echo of the Passover meal every Sunday, and even more often than that. So eating is fundamental to being human, and it's fundamental to the religions that we are part of, the tradition that comes. And in these meals, we encounter something of God. What is God? Thomas Aquinas started his great work, the Summa Theologica, saying, God is what everyone says God is. Whatever you think God is, that's God. And basically what we talk about God, a word that is in every single human language, by the way, there is no human language without the word for God. We're talking about generally someone who made everything and who's very powerful and who's, you better not tick off, you better not upset the God, or the goddess for that matter, because the God has the power over your life. No one wants to invite that God to their Thanksgiving dinner. Really? We don't. We don't invite that God, that the all-powerful God, and yet, that is the kind of God we tend to want. You know, the paradox of us celebrating the fact that we white people were saved by Native Americans and only to turn around and take everything they had, except for their little reservations, there's a paradox there, but it's something that's common to everybody because the Native Americans knew how to slaughter each other too. There is no race of noble savages. We're all the same in that respect. We want a God of power. And the line from Deuteronomy, I think, speaks directly to this in one way or another to all of us. You say to yourselves, my own power and the might of my own hand have won this wealth for me. I earned the money to buy the turkey. I earned the money to buy the cranberry relish. I earned it. It's mine. It's my wealth. I did it. It's my power. It's my brilliance. It's the wonderful job I got because I'm so great. This is how we do it. And we want a God we can buy off. A God who's out there and doesn't bother us because we bought God off. We know how to deal with God because God's all powerful. And if we get God off our backs, we can be our own little powerful people too and feel safe and secure and have turkey every year for the rest of our lives. The whole point of Deuteronomy is, the passage we read, both in Hebrew and English, is that we can't say this. And this is where the God who shows up at our table looks like something we don't know. As I understand the Passover tradition, there's always a chair for Elijah, the wonder-working prophet. And yet Elijah, well, we Christians have our own version. Another Jew. And the whole point of this tradition is that God isn't all-powerful in dealing with us. Deuteronomy says you have a choice. You can either be thankful for everything you have because it doesn't come from you, or you can say, it's all mine, it's all my power, and that will be sufficient for you forever. That's all you'll ever get, and it will fall out of your hands like the sand at the beach runs through your fingers. So what are you saying? The God we meet is a God who allows us our own way of being, who looks down upon us as we are thankful that our Native American sisters and brothers have saved our lives, who looks down upon us as we wipe out their villages as they sleep. The same God who has given us the power to be. But the whole point of the God that we Jews and Christians worship is the God who desires us to live. Not to live to grab power, which we can never keep. But to live in God's fellowship, in God's presence, at God's table. Everyone uses Psalm 23. It's one of the few prayers most people can say from memory. And it ends, "You set a table before me in the sight of my enemies. My cup runs over. You pour out the wine so much that the cup is just overflowing." That is the life God desires for us. As long as we stop thinking it's all up to us, as long as we stop trying to grab the power that is too temporary and let it be in the hands of the one who is eternal. And that is what we should give thanks for. That's the real world. That's the real life. The life that God has created us for us to live. When shortly after my wife Melinda died, my Jewish neighbors upstairs invited me for a drink. Me and Marie Noelle was still with me, my daughter. And they explained to me that in the Jewish tradition, again, I'm secondhand, sorry. In the Jewish tradition, you mourn for a year for your parents. You mourn a month for a spouse or a child. And I said, "What? That seems backward to me. Your parents are going to, normally they die before you do." And my friend said to me, "Yes, but we believe that life must go on. Because it is a life God has given us to live. To live in communion with our God and with one another. And when we sit at table, we Americans around that turkey, and we sit next to Uncle Joe, who's always drunk, and Grandma, who never can stop talking about her nasty neighbors, and all those people that we have to put up with because we're a family. And by the way, they have to put up with us, too. We need to be thankful for the life we have, because it comes from God. It goes back to God. And in that spirit, in that one spirit, the spirit that hovered over creation, the spirit that hovers over us today, in that spirit, let us give thanks. Always. Not just for one day. Amen.